Well, good morning. Wow, that's impressive. Everybody's wide awake. Good. We're going to have a little fun today. Well, at least I am. How many of you know me to be a very passionate person? Okay. Today, I'm starting to shake already. I'm preaching on one of the things I am the most passionate about, the body of Christ and spiritual gifts. If I get a little loud or sound like I'm mad, I assure you I am not. It's just my passion coming through. You know, they say that if you light somebody on fire, people will come around for miles to watch them burn. You guys are going to get to watch me burn today, okay? So, you know what? Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we start. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for who you are. And I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be up here, Lord. And I just pray that you use your Holy Spirit to speak through me today, Lord. And just pray that your word will not return to you void. And you said it wouldn't, Lord, and we believe that. I just pray, Lord, that you speak through me, Lord. And I just pray that you prepare the congregation to hear these words as well, Lord. And may we take heed to them, Lord, and to not only to be obedient to you, but to show you how much we love you, Lord, and to support our pastor and the work here in this church. We thank you for it. Pray your blessing on this time. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, Julie, are you ready? All right. Well, the body of Christ. Paul refers to the church as the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, 20, and 27, it says, "But now they are many members, yet but one body. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." Now before we look at the body of Christ, I want to look at, to see just how the human body is made up, and you don't want to know how I first phrased that. If you want to know, I'll tell you in private, but I didn't think it would go over so well. So now this isn't meant to be Physiology and Anatomy 101, but just a simple reference to how the human body is and the complexity of the human body. Well, how many systems do we have in the human body? I'm hearing five. Any other guesses? Well, there's at least 10. There's at least 10. It depends on how we break it down. I didn't get a concrete answer on this, but at least 10. And you have things like, you know, cardiovascular, digestive, respiratory, nervous system, skeletal system. That was five. How many bones do we have in the body? Lots. Yes, lots. 206. How many muscles do we have? Many. Bud, you're a wealth of information today. Over 600. All right. Now here's one. How many cells do we have in the body? I heard billions. That's good. 37.2 billion, give or take a few. I'm sorry, trillion. Trillion. 37.2 trillion, give or take a few billion, okay? I tried to count them all this morning, but I ran out of time. Now I just want to say to that, praise God, because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? Each cell, each bone and muscle all have a very important job to do within the body, right? Well, so it is in the body of Christ. And so if just one part didn't work, the body wouldn't be functioning correctly. So to be at optimal performance, every part of our body has to be doing its part, right? Good, I'm glad you agree. Let's look at Romans 12, 4 and 5 and 1 Corinthians 12 to 14. We see what I was just saying. We see this illustrated very well here. Romans says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." Corinthians says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by the Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, all have been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. So as we already said, just as the human body has many parts, so does the body of Christ. Now just to be clear on this, I need to say that everyone who receives Christ as their Savior is a part of the body of Christ. Verse 13 kind of talks about that. It's really the baptism of the Holy Spirit that's referred to here, and we don't have time to get into that. That's another message for itself. Now, no message about the body of Christ would be complete without mentioning that Jesus Christ himself is the head. Every part is important. Just as every part of our body is, so are we as the members of Christ. Also, everybody has a job to do. Every part of our body has a job to do. So does everybody in the body of Christ. Now, I'm going to read to you 1 Corinthians 12, 15 through 20. Now, I'm going to misquote something, and I'm going to see if you guys can catch it. If the foot should say to the hand, "Oh, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, "Oh, well, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where would the smelling be? But now God has set members, each one of them, in the body, just as it pleased us. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. Is it please what? What? What version are you guys using? No, I'm kidding. That's right. Told you we're going to have some fun today. That's right. You see, we don't get to pick what part we are. God does that. Now I'm going to have some illustrations for you. Oh, yeah, we're going to have fun with this. You're going to have more fun than I am, though, because I am no artist by any stretch of the imagination. You can laugh now, but don't laugh after this message is over, okay? If the whole were an eye, you like my hands? I love them. Give them some feet. Make them straighter. Oh, wait, we should give them some hair. Give them a little some hair. All right, if that was a body, would that be very functional? Can you guys see it? Claire on the board. Boy, I feel foolish. Okay, that's all right. It works. It works. I'm all about things that work. All right. Now, what about the ear? If it said if all was an ear, where would the smelling be? Oh, you're going to love this. Close enough, right? Hey, like I said, I'm no artist. Get some hair. There we go. Awesome. Oh, wait a second. We got to give it an eyes, little nose, little mouth. There, it's an ear. What if that was the whole body? Would that be very functional? Laugh, please. This is... I'm trying to make a point here. All right, now I'm going to introduce you to Joe Stickman. And if there's anybody out there by the name of Joe Stickman, it's just a name I came up with, okay? I was thinking about that this week. Can anybody guess why he's called Joe Stickman? Anybody? The smile, yeah, that's it. Now, what if Joe decided, well, I don't know. I kind of want some more fingers on my hands. So we'll take some away from here. He says, you know what? I want two left feet. Anybody have two left feet? Now, oh, he doesn't have hair. Okay. Now, how functional would that be? Would that look kind of silly? Everybody see it? We see my great artwork. All right. Now, I took the time to do that because it's silly. It gives us an idea about just how silly and dysfunctional the body could be. We all have a job to do in the church. Even if it's the same job, no one else could do it the way we could. Now I'm going to talk about some spiritual gifts. First off, everybody has one. When we receive Christ, we get at least one spiritual gift. And 1 Peter 4:10 says that, as each one has received the gift, minister it one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Romans 6a, first part of the verse. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Verse 4:10 says, minister it. That means use it. Okay? If you're ministering to somebody, you're actively doing something. Romans 12:6 just comes right out and says, well, you got to use them. Use them. God gave us gifts to use in his church so that it would work the way he wants it to. And I want to say this with love, but if you think that being a Christian is just coming to church, sitting down, and listening to a message once a week, you somehow got and have the wrong idea. God saved us and gifted us to serve him. How many of you have heard the saying, 20% of the church does 80% of the work? And I know somebody out there is going to say, well, Rob, that's 100%. Is it? If you add 20 and 80, you get 100, but it's not 100%. You see, it needs to be 100% of the church doing 100% of the work. Amen? Would your body work if only 20% of your body was doing 80% of the work? What if your heart decided to say, oh, those lungs, they're just getting all the glory. You know what? I'm just not going to put out as much. Would that work? No. What if your hands finally said, oh, you know, I don't really feel like doing anything today. I want to be the feet. I want to walk on the palms of my hands. You think that would work very well? No, of course not. How could our bodies work with a ratio like that? Our bodies need every part working. So does the body of Christ. Let's look at Ephesians 4:11-16. Now this is taken from the Message translation. I'm going to read it right from here. He handed out gifts, he being God, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Sometimes certain translations separate pastor, teacher. This one combines it. To train Christians in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, the church, until we are moving rhythmically and easily with one another, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, alive like Christ. No prolonged infancies among us, please. We'll not tolerate babes in the woods, small children who are an easy mark for imposters. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth, and tell it in love, like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we grow up healthy in God, robust in love. Now, I wanted to put this next thing in the message, and I really struggled with where to put it. So we're going to talk about it now. How many of you think that the pastoral staff should do all the work in the church? Note takers? Good, because they're not supposed to do all the work in the church. It couldn't possibly work that way. Why? Do they have all the spiritual gifts? Do you have all the... You don't? Mitch, do you have all the spiritual gifts? No. Why not? You're a pastor. I mean, you guys get paid, right? Don't we pay you guys? I mean, really? You know? You should do all the work because you get paid. Oh, look at this thing. There we go. All right. Okay, so I'm just a little OCD sometimes. All right. You know, but on that note, you know, I'm really sick and tired of hearing that they need to do more because they get paid, or that they need to do something because, well, that they should do because, well, to get paid, right? Well, you know what? I just wanted to say this too, that, you know, if God has brought something to your attention that you think the pastors should do, because God laid it on your heart, just maybe, you're the one that God wants to do it. Rob, how can you say that? Because it's true. They can't possibly do everything. Do you know what the pastor's main job is? Let's look back at verse 12. Word for word. To train Christians in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, the church. That's his main job. Everything he does falls under that category. You see, it's his job to train us to do all the work. Amen? Oh, good. Somebody said amen. I'm glad. Amen. You know what? Jesus told Peter, feed my lambs 3 times. The apostles had to appoint deacons in the early church because it wasn't fitting for the apostles to leave the word to serve tables. Paul tells Timothy and Titus not to neglect the word. The pastor's main job is to train us in and through the word so that we will grow. Now, Pastor John, how many hats did you say you get to wear when you first come to a church?
About 30,
he says. Now, let me ask you this. If you had to do all 30 of those things, would it all get done? He said he'd end up having a stroke. There's some food for thought. Even if you could do all 30 of those things, which you probably couldn't because you've already said you don't have all the spiritual gifts, right? Okay. It would be so shallow. Each area would be so shallow and so thin that it would almost be useless, right? You see, it's his job to see that all these things get done, not necessarily do them all. I think it's interesting that in the King James, another way to translate pastor is overseer. You ever seen that? That he oversees all these things to make sure that, you know, we're doing them. Now let's get back to verses 11 through 16. I have 2 points here. First is that God wants us to grow. And that is another message for another time. We don't have time to get into that right now. But I believe that the Message translation did a great job in bringing that out. And part of growing is using our gifts. Now, this next thing, if you don't get anything else out of this message, this next part is the most important. This is what I want you to take home. The other point that I have to make is that not only does each person have a part or a job to do, but we are intertwined with each other. What I do or don't do affects everybody in the church. What you do or don't do, likewise, affects everybody in the church because we are connected in the most intricate way. Now I want to read verse 16 from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. You know, I'd never heard of that before I prepared this message either. So don't feel bad. I feel that the message kind of fell short in verse 16, but this version really brings out the whole meaning. From him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the power working in each individual part. What's all this stuff connected with? You know, the bones, it's not enough that the bones are just there. We got to have muscles, got to have ligaments. Have you ever seen a branch of a tree that's kind of broken off? It doesn't just break off flat. It takes more of the trunk with it. Why? Because somebody didn't come along and just glue that branch onto the tree. It's a part of the tree. You know, we are connected just like that. Now, how intricate and complex are we put together? All these joints and ligaments holding the body together, we depend on each other. Amen? So that's why it's so vitally important that we use our gifts in the church. Just as every part of the body, our bodies, do its part, so must we in the body of Christ. Now, Julie, this is where I want to play the video. Now, when you watch this, there's two aspects of this. Not only is there the visual part, but there's also a musical part to it as well. And there's a mistake in it. And I want to see if you guys can catch the mistake. Thank you, Julie. Thanks for Mitch for helping to set that up, too. All right, where's the mistake? Anybody catch it? Nobody? Did you notice the parts where the words, parts of the words kind of went along with some of the parts of the music? Like as the when the whole word interdependence was up, everything was playing. But as letters were taken away, some of the instruments were taken away. All the way down until you got down to, I think it was a cello or a double bass. I can't remember. I don't know which one it was. So with that, what should have happened during that last word when the whole word was put up? Everything should have been playing, right? It was just the cello that was playing. It was funny because I saw that and like the word wasn't even gone from the screen. I'm like, I saw that in Sunday school class a couple weeks ago and I'm like, they made a mistake. I thought it was interesting. Now, I just want to briefly take a side tour here. You see, I'm not saying that I have the gift of discernment, but that's how discernment can be used in the church. If you're in a meeting or somewhere and you have the gift of discernment, you can say, boom, that's not right. And this is why. That hadn't even gone off the screen and I caught it, okay? But I'm a musician, so I would catch something like that, right? So we are intertwined with each other. Now that I've beaten that to death, let's look at spiritual gifts. We've already said that everybody has at least one, but not everybody has them all, and not everyone has the same gift. And it's alluded to here in 1 Corinthians 12:29 through 30. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Implied, no. Now, sometimes I think we get tempted to think, well, you know, I just can't do everything, so I'm going to do nothing. Just because we can't do everything doesn't excuse us to do nothing. Keep that in mind. Now I want to put your mind at ease a little bit. You might be thinking, that Rob, he's going to expect me to do something every week. I just know it. Not so. I want people to use their gifts. But you know, you don't have to use your gift every time you come to church. How about the nursery workers? Any nursery workers out there? How often do you serve in the nursery? I won't call on you, Deb, because I know you don't like to speak in public. Peggy? Wow, okay. I was thinking once a month or once every 2 months would be good. Used to be like that, okay. But you have more people? Wow, well, praise God for that. Amen. Okay, how about kids' church? How many kids' church workers do we have? Okay, Alice, how often do you serve up there? once a month. Excellent. How about, you know, there's things like ushers, tellers. There's other frontline ministries. We've got people that serve coffee and cookies. We've got people that sit at the Welcome Center and things like that. They're not doing that every week. Somehow we get the idea that, you know, serving God and using our gifts, well, we're going to use it every week. No, not necessarily. In fact, you might not even use your gift in this building. Is Dave Foyle here? There you are. Dave Foyle runs Helping Hands Ministries. And that's an important thing. He doesn't use that gift right here in the church. What do you guys do, Dave? You go out and help people that have needs, fixing things like steps or drywall or little projects that take about, what, like a half a day or something? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's saying that most of his projects that they're doing are taking about 3 or 4 hours. Now, Dave, I have to assume you don't do that every day. No. Okay. We don't have to use our gifts every time we come to church or using them every day. And you know what? It's okay to take a break. If you're a teacher or like a ministry leader of some sort, there's nothing wrong with stepping aside and letting somebody else do that for a while. You don't want to burn out. Trust me, you don't want to burn out. I've done it twice. I've already mentioned that up here. It's not pleasant. It's not pleasant. We need to be careful. But you know what? If we had everybody using their gifts the way that we should, we wouldn't have to worry about burning out, would we? We would have enough people to say, oh, hey, so-and-so, you know, I've been doing this for 6 months. Can you take a quarter? Wouldn't it be nice to be able to do that? I thought I heard an amen. All right. Now, I think, oh, I can't read my writing. Sometimes people don't serve because, oh, my glasses are killing me here. Sometimes people don't serve because they feel that they can't get out of it. And that's what I was just talking about, that, you know, it would be nice to be able to hand that off to something. You know, what about like a visitation ministry? You go to somebody's house, maybe they're a shut-in, or maybe they just got out of the hospital. You know, that's something that's not used here in the church. It's not something you have to use every day. Or a card ministry or a phone call ministry for people. You know, but you know what? I really think that a lot of people just don't know what their gift is. And if you don't know what your gift is, you can't use it. Does that make sense? Now, there's no complete list of gifts anywhere. And not even the ones you're going to see up here. But it's possible that there's hundreds of gifts. Well, so I'm blessed to be able to listen to WMHR in the mornings on my way to work. And I get to listen to Pastor Greg Laurie. And I can't remember the name of his program off the top of my head. But he was talking about a guy that had the ability to go up to a young woman who had a screaming kid. And he would talk with the lady, talk with the kid and stuff like that, and very tactfully and with great diplomacy be able to convince her to take that child to the nursery. Wouldn't it be better than going up to her and saying, you know, your kid is just making too much noise. You got to take that kid to the nursery. Do you think she's going to take that kid to the nursery? You think she's going to come back next week either? No, not at all. Exactly. Dr. McGee talked about a guy that couldn't pray. He went to a church, and as soon as he got to church, this guy comes up to him, and when I was in the Baptist church, it was very common for the pastor at the end of a service to call out to somebody, and we used to even just do that here when I first came here. He'd call out to somebody and say, oh, you know, Rod, would you pray in closing for us? Well, this guy said, hey, you know what, Dr. McGee, I can't pray, but I'll tell you what, if you need something done, you just let me know. Well, sure enough, 2 weeks later, what happened? Something broke in the church. He's like, oh, you know, I'm going to call this guy up. Within 2 hours, that guy had a whole team of people there to take care of that. That was his gift. Now, let me ask you very frankly, how many of you don't know what your spiritual gift is? That's okay, I wasn't expecting you to raise your hand. That's fine. Think about it. Be honest. Don't raise your hand because I'm not going to call you out. But be honest with yourself, okay? Analyze yourself. Do you personally know what your spiritual gift is? Would you like to know? First thing you should do is pray about it. Ask God to show you what it is. He gave it to you and wants you to use it, so I'm sure he would show you what it is. Now, he might use one of these other methods that we're going to talk about, but he's going to show you. If you honestly seek him, he'll show you. Examine what are you passionate about or the things that you like. Ask others who know you, family, friends, pastors. I wrote down they may see something you don't. I'm going to change that. They will see something you don't. I can guarantee it. Take a spiritual gifts test. There are some online, and there's a ton of them online, actually. I was looking. You know, Linda has one. We're going through a class right now. I'm sure we can get you a copy of that somehow. Or, this is a novel idea, let me just try some things out. Oh, Rob, I can't do that. Well, why not? Don't be afraid to fail. If it doesn't work out, you will eventually find something that does work out. Okay? I have a couple of things here. Greg Laurie found out very quickly he wasn't gifted in music. Joyce Myers said that she was trying some stuff out when she was first saved, and she said, well, you know what, I'm going to serve in a nursery. And she quickly found out that she wasn't cut out for the nursery, and she said, and everybody else around her knew that she wasn't cut out for the nursery, okay? It's going to be evident. It's going to be evident. If you're not cut out for something, it's going to be evident. And tell you what, if you're not cut out for it, don't be afraid to say something, because somebody else is gifted for it. We need to put the right people in the right spot. We need to remember, too, and we talked about this in Sunday school a little bit this morning, no gift is any more important than any other. Why? Why can I say that? Does your hand need your foot? Does your heart need your lungs? It's interesting. The heart pumps the blood, but it's the lungs that takes the oxygen out of the blood. That's a rich study if you ever want to study how the lungs work. Amazing. Amazing how God made us. You see, every part of our body is interconnected. So are we as the body of Christ. Because just because you have a behind-the-scenes job, maybe you're in the sound booth for running the video, maybe you have the gift of encouragement or something like that, or helps. Now, helps is a big one. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit. That is no less important than any of the other ones. I just want to say this too, that when you do find out what your gift is, use it in the way you would use it. What I'm trying to say is don't try to be like somebody else, because you're not somebody else. You see, God is way, way too creative to make two people alike, right? So even among teaching, you know, Chuck Swindoll isn't going to teach like Dr. James Vernon McGee, right? Greg Laurie's not going to preach like Joyce Meyer. I'm not going to teach like Tom. You know, there's things like that, okay? So keep that in mind when you're using your gift. And don't ever, ever, I've got it written down somewhere. I love getting older. I wrote it down somewhere. I know I did. Now I can't even remember what I was going to say. I'll think about it. It's okay. What's that? That's it. Don't ever underestimate, thank you, the ability that you have or using it, okay? Because, like I said before, we're all interconnected very intricately. And don't let anybody put you down because you have a gift that's more behind the scenes. Helps is huge. And it covers a lot of things. Maybe you don't have a specific talent or training, but you know what? We need helpers. We need people to move chairs or set up tables or to just do things that come up in things like VBS. You know, I was amazed how many people stood up here around this church that helped out in VBS, and you guys should be commended for that. Someone has said that your greatest ability is your availability. You know, it's funny. I've taken spiritual gift tests before to see what gifts I've had, and I had a few surprises this past time. Creative communication, or like music, that wasn't near the top. It wasn't even close to the top. It was like halfway up or something. I thought it would be pretty high. I mean, being a musician and stuff, I thought it'd be kind of like up there, and it wasn't. Faith was way higher than I thought, and I got my evaluations back from other people, because you're supposed to hand out a thing to other people to fill out, and it's like everybody that filled it out said faith was, I'm like, faith? What do you see that I don't? Because it's just, I asked my wife about it, and she said, oh yeah, Rob, she said, you know, you're this, and she went on, I'm like, oh, you never told me that before, you know, and, but it's, so like I said before, other people are going to definitely see something that you didn't. Now, I scored low on administration and leadership, and that's no shock to those of you that know me. I'm kind of a more of a free spirit kind of a thing, right? But, you know, it was funny because I didn't score so high on administration and leadership. I kind of questioned my place on the board. But immediately God said, well, wait a second, Rob. What would the board look like if you just had people that were gifted in administration and leadership? I'm going to let you guys think about that one. I'm not going to comment. It was, you know, I'm running out of time. So it's not only important to take a test, but to let others assess you, and you will be surprised what people see. Now, in closing, I just want to mention that there may be a few of you who this is where I wrote it. That's why I couldn't remember. Now, in closing, I just want to mention there may be a few of you who think, Rob, I can't do anything. Is there anybody out there like that? You don't have to raise your hand. That's okay. That's fine. Well, I just have one thing to say to you. Look at the verse in 1 Peter 4:14, and argue with God about it. You do have a gift. God is not a liar. God hates lying. He said you have a. If he said you have a gift, at least one. And don't be afraid to use that gift or underestimate it or the value of it. You know what? There may be some of you who would say, it's true maybe that, you know, I might have a gift. But you know what? I can't use it because of something I did in the past or something that's happened to me or some personality conflict I have. Some physical thing. You know what? Let's look and see here something. Let's look and see what God used and who God used in the past. Can everybody see this? If I turn it like this? Everybody see it? Okay. Top says, do you seriously think God can't use you? Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David had an affair and was a murderer, among other things. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. I actually had to look that one up because I didn't remember that. But it's there. It's there. I think chapter 20 or something like that. It's like I read that one, I'm like, huh? Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious, among other things. Timothy had an ulcer. And Lazarus was dead. What's your excuse? You don't have one, do you? Is there any reason, tell me, is there any reason why every one of us shouldn't be using our spiritual gifts right here in Pulaski, West End? No, thank you. Somebody said no. Excellent. You see, God can and will use you. Make yourself available to him. Find out what your spiritual gifts are. Take that test. Ask other people. Find out how God can use you. We need you. We need everybody. This is an all-hands-on-deck effort. I almost downloaded a symbol, something from General Quarters. in the Navy. Dong, 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 dong. And you see, because we're at war. We are in a spiritual war. And we need every single member of this church to be serving in some area. God can and will use you. My final closing thoughts are, what would the church, the body, look like to the world if when they came in, they saw the body of Christ in action, loving and serving as he did? What would people say if they came in here and saw people being ministered to, people being prayed with, prayed over, people being anointed with oil, all kinds of people teaching and stuff? What would the world think? You see, we need something like that going on so that when we do bring people in that need God, they're going to see the church in Christ in action. How many of you guys like the little homework thing I threw in there? No? Well, hey, you're honest. I have some homework for you. I brought this message because of Pastor Appreciation Month, and this is Pastor Appreciation Month. Happy Pastor Appreciation Month. Hey. Amen. Praise God. Now, I know that there's going to be a lot of you that send the pastors a card, and maybe you put some money in or a gift card in it, and that's great, but with that card, or in some other way that you should so choose, I want you to tell Pastor John what your spiritual gifts are. Rob, how can you do that? Because I just did. So I'm not going to check up on it too. The spiritual gift police aren't going to come to your door. You didn't fill that out. You didn't tell Pastor John what your gifts were. No, nobody's going to do that. I don't know, maybe we should. I don't know. But seriously, this is, like I said, this is an all-hands-on-deck effort. Everybody needs to be involved. Yeah, like I said before, if you don't know what your gift is, you can't use it. And if you do know what it is, Pastor Mitch had just told me, he said, you know what, if 20 people came up to him right now and said, hey, I'm available, he said he could put every one of them into a job. And remember, you don't have to use it every week. Now, let's show Pastor John, Pastor Mitch, how much we appreciate them. Not just this month, not just this week, all through the year. Let's use our gifts, our talents, to serve God and support Pastor John in the work here. Let's show him how much we appreciate him by showing him that. And I had something else written down, but... Well, you know what? The guys are patiently standing in the back, so I'm just going to go ahead and close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, so much for this day, and I thank you for the gifts, the talents that you've given to each one. I pray, Lord, from the bottom of my heart that you will move in each and every person in this congregation, Lord, that if they don't know what their gifts are, that they'll use them to honor, to glorify you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.